Challenge Podcast, your source for the best, most inspiring, and up-to-date information concerning all things related to MS fitness and health. This is Stephen Gloss, your host, an MS warrior, trainer, and fitness advocate. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people with MS and fitness professionals worldwide in an effort to educate and train them in the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. Together, we can win the battle against multiple sclerosis. This is episode number 13. Today's special guest is an entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and past president of Crisis Support Services of Nevada, which is a one of six national crisis support lines in the U.S. She owns and operates multiple corporations in Northern Nevada, but her most important job is as a wife and mom to three teenagers. She is a two-time TEDx speaker with talks on overcoming fear and how she is living her best life with multiple sclerosis. And she was recently featured by Yahoo Entertainment and Lifestyle in their Inspired By series. She uses her extensive training in crisis and stress management to educate, inspire, and empower others to succeed in conquering their challenges and fears, and contributes regularly to the cause of the MS Fitness Challenge. The MS Fitness Challenge Podcast would like to introduce Robin Brocklesby to the show. Robin, it's an honor to speak with you today.
It's an honor to speak with you, too, and I feel like I want to have the same voice when I speak with you back.
I know, right? It's exciting. I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, thanks for having me today. I'm looking forward to talking about some really important topics.
Yeah, I think it's really good and important to start off on a really optimistic and just upbeat note. Because before we sink our teeth in it and focus on you, your background, your experience, your MS journey, I want us to both take a deep, relaxing breath. You do it with me real quick. Right? And we're just going to try and set a calming mood for this interview. There's a lot going on in the world right now. COVID-19 has turned the world on its head. And there are a lot of people who just, they don't know how to handle it. So let's start off with a really easy question. How are you doing right now, Robin, in this moment right now?
I have to tell you, personally, I'm doing really well, probably because I've been learning how to live with MS for the last year, and I'm using a lot of those tools that I use on a daily basis to get through the challenges that we're going through with COVID right now. I worry most about my employees and my team. But we're working really hard to get everybody back to work as soon as we can. And I'm appreciative of everything that's happening with regards to grant money that's out there. So we're hopefully going to get people back on the payroll as soon as possible. So my biggest concerns aren't so much me personally as much as they are around the circle of people that I care about and, you know, feel responsible for on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'm really excited to dig in further into this interview and learn more about your experience with crisis management, because I think it's really applicable not only to what's going on with COVID-19, but also MS. So we'll get to that soon. But as we're recording this, we're actually coming up on your 1 year MS diagnosis anniversary. I know that's not something typically to celebrate, but I at least want to congratulate you for the amazing advocate you've become for people living with this disease in that short time span.
Thanks. It's hard to believe it's been a year. Happy anniversary. I might make a cake.
There you go.
Maybe a paleo one with no sugar.
There you go. Gluten-free. So let's talk about that then. If you can go back, rewind the tape for a year. What was your initial experience with MS like? When did you start to realize that something was off, that something was going wrong with your body?
Well, my husband he was sick, and, you know, he had a cold or a flu or something. And I honestly thought that I had caught something from him. I remember the day was December 13th. We were heading to Disneyland in Los Angeles with our kids for a little getaway. And I felt dizzy, and the right side of my mouth felt a little bit numb. I thought maybe I was getting a sinus infection. And so I sort of wrote it off to maybe I had caught something that he had had. And I didn't think much about it. But Disneyland was brutal because I was really dizzy and maybe not dizzy. It just felt like I had a pair of glasses on that was like 10,000 times the wrong prescription. And I tried to go on some of the rides and I just thought I was going to get sick to my stomach because I just couldn't get that balance feeling right, quite right. So I didn't go on any of the rides on that whole trip. I was so bummed that I was mad at him because I thought he got me sick. Wow. You know, and when we got back home, I called my doctor and he also thought it was a sinus infection. And we waited about a month to see if it would go away, which it didn't. And eventually started me on some antibiotics, which didn't make too much of a difference. And I called him again a few weeks later and said, I'm noticing something new. I've always been into fitness. After I had my third child, who's now 14, I had gained a lot of weight and I just wanted to get back in shape. So I got, you know, the gym is a huge part of my life. I've always exercised. And I was at the gym running on the treadmill and I would notice my right leg would just randomly feel a little heavy. And then I was trying to do an exercise one day called a box jump. And I was jumping onto this box and I didn't quite trust that my leg would catch me. So I called my doctor back and said, I think there's something going on. And he said, well, maybe you pinched a nerve. You were in bed a lot during that 1 month where you were so dizzy. And I said, yeah, that could be it. And he set me up to go see a physical therapist to see if there was something going on with that. And the symptoms just kept getting stronger. And I started noticing when I was typing on a computer, I would see the words in front of me. I knew the words, but I kept misspelling things with my right hand. Or when I would get dressed in the morning and I was trying to do my hair, my makeup, I kept dropping everything with my right hand. And then I started getting these intense sensations in my brain. It felt like a head rush. And I would get like drunk. It felt like I was drunk. And that would last for about 15 or 20 seconds. And then I was noticing my whole right side just would stop working for about a minute. And it just, everything kept getting more intense and I was scared. And I knew that something was really not right. And I remember at one point calling my best friend and telling her, I think I might be dying. I can't put food on a fork and get it up to my mouth. Like there's something really wrong going on with me. It was a very scary experience from being perfectly healthy for my entire life to all of a sudden having this. I didn't know that it was a neuro condition. I didn't know what any of that meant.
That's a really true. I mean, there's a lot of things that I can relate to with that. Just all the uncertainty and all the fear and just all the questions going on, because mine rapidly developed a lot like yours in just a short, I'd say 1.5 month span. It just accelerated.
Yes. From December 13th until February 1st. So about a month and a half, I went from feeling a little dizzy to falling down. I would get out of bed to go to, you know, maybe use the bathroom in the middle of the night. And I remember the first time I fell, my husband sat up out of bed at like 4 a.m. and he said, did you just fall down? I said, yeah, I just fell down. It felt like my leg was asleep. It just wouldn't wake up. And so my doctor eventually, after about six, 8 weeks, said, let's go get an MRI of your brain and see if there's something going on in there. And that's when I got the call. I will never forget.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we know it's not in your head. And well, in your imagination, because we found something in your brain. And then panic mode set in and it goes from there.
Yeah. Looking back at what you've done with your life, you've accomplished so much in your career. You've taken your company, Creative Coverings. You took that from the ground up and built it into just 2 decades, a corporation that's recognized as one of the nation's leading luxury special event and rental sale companies.
Yeah.
Did getting diagnosed with MS, did that feel like a rude slap to the face, an unwelcome visitor just barging in uninvited with the intent to ruin your life? What was going through your mind?
You know, a couple things. One, being a business owner and being what I would consider to be a pretty successful business owner.
Yeah.
I'm a control freak, you know, I guess that's, I've always have been one. Maybe that's just part for the territory, but I've always joked around with it. And for the first time in my life, I felt completely out of my control. And I was angry at my body because In 2017, I had competed in my first fitness competition in a bikini competition. 6 months before the diagnosis, we had backpacked to Machu Picchu. That's a 5-day intensive backpacking trip. 4 weeks before my symptoms started, we hiked to the top of Half Dome in Yosemite. I took really good care of my body. I ate well. I was physically in good shape. All these things that, you know, they say are great ways to eat, Walls protocol, or, you know, eliminating gluten and refined sugar and dairy. I had already done all of those things for many, many years. So I was really angry and frustrated because I had felt like I had done everything right and my body disagreed.
Man.
And I just out of control. And that was uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's got to be really tough. At what point did you finally find the courage to move forward, to take that step forward with your life and start fighting this disease with the spirit of optimism?
Well, I think one thing that is really important to recognize, and I think it was probably easier for me to recognize because I've gone through some pretty big crises in the earlier in my life, 5-6 years earlier, and we'll talk about that. But I've had to learn about being authentic and being honest with who you are and not trying to be something that other people don't. So that was, I guess, a helpful skill set to already have in my wheelhouse. I had to go through a grieving process, and I had to learn that grief does not apply just to death and dying. When you are diagnosed with a disease like MS or many autoimmune diseases, you have to go through grief and you have to get used to a new life and you have to learn. And it took me a couple months, which is probably on fast forward compared to what a lot of people would go through to get okay with the idea that this was going to be something that I have for the rest of my life.
Wow.
But I think for a lot of people, it takes much longer than what it took for me. But like I said, I have some history in having to deal with crisis in the past. And I do believe that what I went through prior in 2014-15 with some mental stuff and family stuff prepared me a little bit more emotionally for what was going to happen with the MS.
Yeah, getting into that, it can be a difficult subject to really be authentic and open with, but you were actually the past president, I believe, maybe you're still working with the Crisis Support Organization in Reno, Nevada. Would you mind sharing how you got involved with that organization and how that experience has helped you build the resilience to handle a crisis and moments in life such as an MS diagnosis?
Yeah. So Crisis Support Services of Nevada, I'm still very involved with them. I'm the immediate past president of the board, and I will continue to stay involved with them for as long as they want me. Very passionate. It's my free job. I probably spend more time with them than I do with my paid gig. I got involved with Crisis Support Services a number of years ago because I had gone through my own crisis, I think from years of owning a business, being on the road, having 3 kids, being married, having a stepchild, you know, lots of different stresses that all of us experience on a daily basis. And I was not an authentic person. I was the person that I thought everybody wanted me to be as opposed to the person I needed me to be. This is my Cliff Notes version. And it led me to having a very big mental breakdown. It was, in fact, even 3 days where I was suicidal myself. And I had a friend reach out to me, and he was involved with Crisis Support Services of Nevada, which is one of 6 national crisis support call lines in the United States. So we take calls, although we're based in Nevada, we take calls from all over the U.S. And he asked me if it's an organization I would like to get involved with. And I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
And I said to him, let me research it. And I would like to get involved, but let me make sure I'm mentally ready first. And as I started really researching this organization, I thought, oh my God, I would have called them if I had known they existed when I was in my worst moments. I can't believe I didn't know. I need to get involved with this organization, because if I didn't know, and I've been in Northern Nevada as an event person, I have helped every nonprofit in this town and in Las Vegas and across the country. And so I know a lot of these nonprofits, and how did I not know they exist? So I called them and said, I want to get involved. I want to volunteer. I want to learn more about what you do. And coming from a for-profit lifestyle, I knew very little about nonprofit lifestyle and or business. And so I asked them if I could go through all of their training before I got involved with the board to really understand who they help and how they help people. And I did that, and it was a game changer for me. It was a life changing experience. And that was my beginning of the road to getting involved with this organization. And last year alone, we took 85,000 calls.
Wow.
And about 20,000 text messages as well, from all kinds of people, not just who are suicidal, but people who are going through crisis, and people who have been given a health diagnosis, is people who are dealing with grief, people who are dealing with abuse, and you name it, stalking, you name it. This is an organization that helps. So it's become a calling for me, and I'm very happy to be involved with them still.
Yeah, mental health, it can often be something that it can really become a daunting battle for those that are living with MS. And I'm going to be honest and blunt here. It's been one for me lately. You talk about suicide, you talk about depression, and those are very real emotions that I have been struggling with for the past, I'd say, 2 months.
Yeah.
Are there any points of emphasis that you would want to stress to those listening, to maybe even me, that for people that struggle with depression?
Yes. So I think it's really important for people in the MS community to realize that the rate of suicide among suicide ideations and people who actually are successful with taking their life is 3 times higher with people with MS than people who don't have it. So it's a real thing, and it's really important to talk about. Feelings of depression are so common. They're common with everybody. But I think it's important to really keep in mind, if you're feeling that way, that where you are now isn't where you're always going to be. And one of the biggest things you need to be able to do is be accepting and loving towards yourself and what you're going through, because what you're going through today doesn't mean that that's what you're going to go through tomorrow. It's not indicative of tomorrow. So I think there's really important skill sets. One of the things I first did when I was diagnosed with MS, and probably a lot of people do, I'm old, you know, I'm 47, so I'm on Facebook more than Instagram, right? I joined every MS Facebook page that was out there. And I found that a lot of them really become crisis support lines for people who don't know what to do or are scared. I see people talking about their depression on these pages all the time. And what concerns me is that the people who are on those pages aren't educated or don't have that crisis experience to be able to guide somebody the way they need to be guided. So the first thing I would say is I am a big fan of therapy. I think if you're really in a place where you are feeling, you know, depressed and you're having trouble getting yourself out of that it's really important to talk to somebody who knows, who understands, and can help you work through those individual feelings. Because those feelings are really important to recognize, to talk about, and then to also figure out, okay, now how am I going to get past them? Like for me, one of my big ones that I had to learn is to let go of control. You know, it's really hard when you are a control type of a person and you can't control that some days your body is not going to let you do what you want it to do. Or, you know, and so I think talking to somebody is really, really important. I think it's also really important, if you're feeling like you need to wallow or be sad, allow yourself to do it, but do it constructively. One of the things a friend of mine said to me in the beginning, because I always joke and would say, oh, I'm having a pity party today. Like I'm just having a pity party. And she said to me, and she had a completely different situation. Her son was diagnosed with a very severe cancer with a 10% survival rate, and he survived it. But she said, you know, Robin, allow yourself the time to have a pity party, set a timer. And when you're done with that timer, get off the pity party wagon and start doing something more productive. And so I think that's a really, really important thing to keep in mind, is allow yourself the opportunity to be sad, to be frustrated, to be angry, recognize all those feelings, experience all those feelings. And then once you're like, don't let yourself stay in that place. You have to get yourself out. And the way to get yourself out in a lot of time, for a lot of people, is to create a routine or to do something you enjoy. And, you know, like for you, Stephen, or for me, of course, exercise is something we enjoy. And hopefully a lot of people who are listening to this love that too. But sometimes your body just doesn't want you to do that. You know, and learning how to listen to your neurosystem, which one of your past guests was Maureen, who, you know, was an Olympic athlete. And she explained to me in the beginning, you know, Robin, you have to train your neurosystem. You have to learn how to listen to your body. And sometimes you just don't want to. You really just want to go out and exercise and your body to. And that's frustrating. So you need to find something else that you enjoy too, that your body will allow you to do at the time where it's not allowing you to do something that you really wanted to do. And I think another thing that's important is it to remember is it's okay to change your definition of what winning means. So I think we all get stuck in my definition of winning is, you know, I'm going to have a successful national company and I'm going to have, you know, 10 speaking engagements in the next 3 months and I'm going to have this, or, you know, well, my body may not allow me to do that anymore. Or, you know, maybe, you know, your level of disability is bigger and you used to be a marathoner and you can't marathon anymore because now you're having to use a walker or a cane. That doesn't mean that you can't still win. You just have to be okay with changing the definition of what that winning strategy is going to be, and know that we're our own worst enemy sometimes because we can't allow ourselves to be okay with that, but we need to allow ourselves to be okay with that.
Yeah.
I think another thing that is really important to do is to volunteer. I think so many times people with MS get used to receiving help from other people and loved ones, but there are so many ways that volunteering and providing help for other people can actually improve your mental health even more so than, you know, studying and learning. And sometimes it's just very fulfilling to help somebody else. And you can do that no matter what your level of disability is too. You know, if you've got a great ability right now and can go out and help people in person, that's great. But there's call centers all over the US that need somebody on the line that want to learn how to coach people through having, you know, going through something really rough. And we can do that. So I think volunteering is important too.
Yeah, I heard a quote from, I forget from where it was, but the person said, the only way to get happy is to give happy. And I think that's really true.
Yeah.
I really appreciate all those points that you described there. And I do consider myself on the quote unquote road to recovery. I am going through therapy. I'm doing group therapy. I'm doing all the things that I feel like I need to right now, but I appreciate those things that I know will help me to focus on it and hopefully maybe help any listeners as well.
Yeah. I think attitude really counts. Also, the mind is a very, very powerful thing.
Oh yeah.
And mindset is everything. You know, I was working with my trainer one day and I said to her, I said, you know, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. You know, you're right. And so I work very hard each day to wake up and say, all right, I'm going to do my best today, because what are the two options? Right after my diagnosis, I spent 3 hours on the phone with a woman who has had MS for 20 years. I had never met her before, and she will have a special place in my life forever. And she said to me, she goes, you know what, Robin, I choose laughter versus crying. She goes, because it's my choice and it's my road, and laughter is way more fun than crying, and I get to pick which one I'm going to do. So I laugh. So we try to do that a lot here too at my house. And, you know, my big joke has become, I pull my MS card a lot, you know, like when it's time to do the dishes or like, oh, I'm pulling my MS card, or my daughter's learning how to drive right now. And I tell my husband, oh, you know, stress is no good for me. I better pull my MS card. I think you should take her. And we all laugh about that, because why not?
That's great.
You know? Yeah, I think that's important.
You recently, you had the opportunity to give a TED Talk at the University of Nevada, and you titled it, How I Am Living My Best Life with MS, with Multiple Sclerosis. I'm going to make sure, first off, that I have a link to the speech that's available with this episode, but could you give a brief synopsis of the message you were trying to convey at that event?
Yeah. So that TED Talk was not necessarily in my wheelhouse, but I was approached by the guy who puts on TEDx for University of Nevada, Reno. And it's a big event with about 1,800 people that attend every year. And he brought me out to coffee, and he said, you know, Robin, I think you should talk about how you find the strength to fight a losing battle. And that really pissed me off when he said that to me. I actually like looked around the coffee place and thought, are you talking to me? Like, is that really how you see MS? And what I noticed over the course of the last year, and I don't know if you've noticed this as well, but when I came out and started talking about my MS, which I'm very blessed that I own a business, so I don't have to worry about losing my job or, you know, people being concerned that I won't be able to do as much work as somebody without MS. So I was very verbal about what it was and educating people. But so many people would come up to me and say, I'm so sorry, my grandmother died a horrible death of MS, or my uncle had MS and he died a horrible death. More people told me about people they knew that died of this disease than people who are living successfully with it. And that's hard to hear.
You know, it's interesting. I was actually on the flip side of all of that. And it actually still made me mad, because I would tell people, I have MS and this is what's happening to me. And I would have time and time again, people say, oh, I know so-and-so who has MS and they're perfectly fine. They acted like there's nothing wrong with them. And I felt like nobody was listening. Nobody could hear me. That I was going through such a crisis, and everybody was just saying, oh, suck it up, you're fine. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I also had one person say, I wouldn't make any long-term plans if I was you. And I was like, what do you mean? So I felt that this was this opportunity for me on a bigger stage, not just to the 1,800 people that were there, but, you know, to a worldwide stage, to actually give some information out about what MS is. So I really had three things I wanted to accomplish. I wanted people who are newly diagnosed to realize that it's not a death sentence, and that you can live an okay life. You can live a really good life, even though you have a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. I wanted to explain to people that don't have it, because if they were like me, I had heard of MS before, but had no idea really what it meant. I just knew it wasn't good. I wanted to explain to people in layman's terms what multiple sclerosis is, which I think I was able to do briefly in that talk. And I wanted to just let people know that just because you're given a diagnosis doesn't mean that it needs to stop you from living your life. And the last thing I say in that talk is that, you know, no one gets through life unscathed, and everybody has a something. Our something is MS, and that doesn't mean we're not going to live our best life with it. And, you know, I just think everybody at some point is going to be faced with an obstacle. And this is not an easy obstacle, but it's an obstacle. But it's not an obstacle that's going to kill us. And And that is a proven fact. It is the average life expectancy for somebody with MS is only 7 years less than the general population. Because of all the changes that are happening in lifestyle, health, nutrition, medications, if you choose to go that route, it's not the right route for everybody. But there's so much information coming out now and being discovered just in the last 7 years of MS. So there's a lot of exciting things that are happening from a research end. So
yeah, I think you did a great job communicating it. And I'm encouraging everybody after they listen to this to go watch if they haven't yet.
Yeah, definitely watch it and share it and get the word out. I wanted it to be a tool, a tool for people to use. And I'm glad it's done. Those things are a lot of work.
Well, I was blessed to get a chance to meet you at the MS Fitness training camp we had in Boise, Idaho last year. And you are actually a huge part of utilize your planning skills to help plan and execute that event. And I just have to say, everyone who attended was blessed by your efforts and even just your presence there. So with that, how did you actually get to learn about the MS Fitness Challenge? And how did your dialogue with David Lyons, the founder of the charity, how did that all start?
Well, David is another person that will have a special place in my life forever and ever and ever, because right after my diagnosis, of course, the first thing you think is I'm not going to be able to walk again. Luckily, we were able to get my flare up under control and I'm back to being able to run and exercise like I did before. But at that point, I didn't think I'd ever walk again. And fitness, like I said, was a huge part of my life. So I started really researching exercise, fitness, and MS. And I came across MS Fitness Challenge Facebook page and website and David Lyons. And I actually called him one day, and God bless him, he gets a million people reaching out to him, but he spent some time on the phone with me. And I joked with him back then and said, we're not really good friends yet, but we're going to be. And, so I continued to see what he was doing. And because I've been in the event industry for 25 years, I said to him, you have all this great information and it might be cool to have a live in-person event. And he said, yeah, I think that would be interesting too. And we really started having this conversation about what it could entail and how we would do it. And we just, we rolled the dice and we pulled the trigger and we made it happen. And yeah, again, not in my wheelhouse, but like you, this is in my wheelhouse now. And it was incredible to see that group of people there in person. And what I've come to love about the MS Fitness Challenge Gym is it's one of the few groups that I found that is all optimistic there's a lot of positivity there. There's people who are working forward instead of working backward. And so that's how it came to be. I needed to know that just because I had this disease, it wasn't going to stop me from my love of fitness. And that was my biggest fear. Honestly, I was scared I was going to die. And then I was scared I was never going to be able to exercise again.
So you've already made it very clear that fitness, I mean, even your diet and living alternative holistic health strategies, that's sort of been a part of who you are.
Yeah.
Did you take that to another level after your MS diagnosis and after being exposed to the MS Fitness Challenge?
Oh my God, I'm taking it to such a higher level right now. In fact, like I said, things aren't always in your wheelhouse. And I've been training and exercising for years, but David, yourself, a number of the other people I've really come to know and care about in this organization have inspired me to go out and get my training certifications, which I signed up for actually while I'm home. With my kids, during this whole COVID thing, to start studying. And I will be planning on eventually training people in Northern Nevada that have MS and potentially Parkinson's and a couple of the other neuro diseases. So I'm really excited to do that. And
that is so exciting, man. I actually would encourage anybody else who has an interest. Now is the perfect time to do that, right? To get certified. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, I figured, I can't really leave my house right now, so it's a perfect time to study.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to, to open yourself up to new ideas. I mean, and let me tell you, I mean, I, I have a lot of friends who are trainers and in the fitness industry, and it's very intimidating to be used to being good at what you do for a career. I know events really well. I know that business, and I don't know this. And it's a little scary to start something new, but I think it's really important to get uncomfortable, because when you get uncomfortable and you succeed, you grow. And you need to do that. You need to keep getting uncomfortable and doing things that are outside your comfort zone in order to gain mental strength and clarity and confidence.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Getting towards the end here, Robin, but I kind of want to get your insights on, you touched on this maybe a tiny bit, but how has being involved with the MS Fitness Challenge, how has that changed your life? And what is your message to those who are struggling to stay consistent with their fitness?
It's changed my life dramatically. One thing I think is important for everybody to really do is to look for the little gifts in everything. And there have been so many gifts that have come my way as a result of this diagnosis. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I have learned to appreciate such little things that I never appreciated before, and meet new people and experience new things that I would have never experienced had I not been given this diagnosis of MS. So I think it's important to look at those gifts and to keep moving forward and just to be grateful, even if it's different than what you imagined, because guess what? Life is like that. You know, you can think and hope all you wish that life is going to go the way you think it's going to go, but it's not going to go. It's going to take a big right turn no matter what your life does. So I'm appreciative. I'm appreciative for your new friendship, for the friendships I've met through this organization. And I wouldn't have any of those had I not been given this diagnosis. So, yeah. Yeah. And I hope everybody will remember that when they're having a down day. It's not easy. It's not easy sometimes to find those gifts, but they always exist. So when you're having a moment of feeling depressed or feeling sad or feeling frustrated, those are maybe the best times to take a step back, sit down and have a conversation with your inner self about, all right, what kind of gift can I find? Because I challenge everybody who's listening to find at least one. I bet you could find a lot more, though. I want to make sure that we give to everybody who's listening today, if they feel like they are really in crisis and need somebody to talk to, I want to make sure to give everybody the 800 number for crisis support services, and I want to give the texting line. So if you are feeling like you need to talk to somebody, you can call 1-800-273-8255. I'll say it again, 1-800-273-8255. Or you can text the word CARE, CARE, to 839-863. So I just, like I said, don't feel like you always have to be the tough one and the strong one. We're not strong all the time, and we are sad sometimes. And when you're having one of those moments, if you don't have somebody that you can talk to about it, you need to call that line and talk to somebody, because, you know, sometimes you just need to have that conversation. And don't be afraid to be authentic and honest about what you're feeling. Every feeling, every emotion is legit.
Yeah, there's no shame in seeking help. And that's something that I've been learning as of late right now. And it's totally true.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate you letting me come on and talk a little bit about the mental health aspect of this, because that's a big thing. It's a big thing. Going through a life change like this is dramatic.
It definitely is. And I will make sure I have that phone number and that text code available, all the information with the notes with this podcast. But as we get to towards the very end of this, Robin, and it's just been so just amazing having you and be able to talk to you today. As I mentioned towards the beginning of this interview, the anniversary of a tragic event like an MS diagnosis, it's not something that people typically celebrate. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to challenge you. Take a moment to pause and reflect on the last year. Can you find anything about living with MS that you're truly, authentically, 100% wholeheartedly grateful for?
Yes, I can. I am grateful for the appreciation of waking up every day and being able to appreciate the beautiful sky and listening to my kids laugh and looking at my husband. And I'm just appreciative for the idea that I now look at those things as very important as opposed to things that were just kind of there in the past. I am forever grateful of the realization that this disease has brought me to the importance of the little things. I am so grateful. And I could write a whole book, though, of all the things I'm grateful for. Yeah. And I think it's really important to celebrate anniversaries, too. So I will never look at my anniversary date of my diagnosis as a bad day. I'm going to look for something cool to do every year on my anniversary and maybe something that's completely outside my bucket list. Like, I have a horrible fear of flying, but I have considered jumping out of a plane, and I might do that. Probably not this year because of COVID, but maybe next year. So I'm going to come up with something cool to do every year to celebrate.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what you do, Robin. It's going to be great. Well, that's going to wrap it up today, Robin. I just want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Your passion, your enthusiasm for helping people, for making a difference is so contagious. And I have to say the MS Fitness Challenge is extremely lucky to have someone like you on the team. Hopefully we'll all get over the impacts of this virus soon enough and get back to a quote-unquote normal life. With that, do you have any closing comments for the audience?
My closing comment is there's no such thing as normal. no such thing as normal, but that's okay. Embrace change and reach out to me, any one of you guys, if you ever feel like you need to chat. I'm here for you. And you know what, as a team, an MS group, we've got this together. We just got to pick each other up and keep moving forward.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Be sure to tune into next week's episode where I will get the honor and privilege of interviewing David Block, the founder and president of Prevenex. Prevenex is actually partnered with the MS Fitness Challenge as a premier supplement and nutrition company that prides itself as being pharmaceutical grade tested. Their products can make a difference in your health. As I say every week, you're not going to want to miss this. Remember, new episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available for download every Saturday on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way you can help support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the greater the impact we can have. As we close out, remember to check out msfitnesschallenge.com and dig into all those great resources we have for you. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and be sure to get plugged into the MS Fitness Challenge Gym Facebook group. The group is as active as ever and will give you the chance to get integrated to a motivated cast of dedicated MS warriors. To all those listening, to all our MS warriors, thank you. Don't give up the fight. Keep pressing, keep striving, and conquer MS.